Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Meaningful Conversations Radio Show, powered by RD Solutions Marketing Firm. I am your host, Erica Harrison, and I just want to say thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to tune into tonight's broadcast. These conversations are meant to uplift, empower, motivate, and encourage you from going to potential to purpose. For each show, we interview business professionals in various industries to share their journey of success. Our mission is to empower world leaders and business professionals in the marketplace. Well, guys, today I have an opportunity to interview Yaissa Mann as we discuss having faith in the marketplace. Make sure to like, comment, and share tonight's broadcast. And the chat box function is available. You would have to log in. For anyone that wants to use that function to ask any questions or make any comments during the show. So Yaissa is a gifted visionary, apostolic leader, and prophetic voice. She is the cheerleader for The Chosen, teaching and mentoring faith-based women influencers on how to supernaturally process their healing and deliverance to boldly live out their calling and their purpose for God. Yaissa is passionate about creating supernatural spaces for strategic networking to empower entrepreneurs on how to live and enrich their business and relationships and revenue. A California native currently resides in Norman, Oklahoma. You can find her somewhere in between inspiring others on her podcast, Yaissa Lifestyles Brand Masterclass, teaching a high-energy fitness class, or bossing up with her friends, shining light for Jesus and slaying her goals with God's truth, or with her children, Jalen, Josiah, and JL are her inspiration and joy. So I am so excited about tonight's interview. Me and Yaissa have definitely connected just outside of the interview space. And when I say she is going to drop some gems, she is definitely what I would consider to be a heavy hitter when it comes to wisdom. So make sure that you like and share tonight's broadcast. So without further ado, I want to welcome Miss Yaissa on the show, guys. Hello.
Uh-oh. Hey, Erica, thank you so much for that awesome introduction, and I'm so glad to be here tonight.
I'm so grateful. Thank you so much for even taking the time out of your schedule to do this interview. I know you are busy, so we're so happy to have you on the show today.
Thank you very much, and likewise, my friend.
Thank you. So we're going to go ahead and get started. So, you know, after reading the introduction that was given, you know, I always like to go back to the beginning. And if you can just share with us before we get into the faith base and everything like that, tell us about Yaissa growing up before you became or found out, should I say, that you were apostolic and was a gifted visionary, a prophetic voice. Tell us about your journey growing up as a young child.
Well, thank you for that. I will just kind of go in like chapters. I want to say in my spring season, just, you know, springing out, I was raised in the Valley of California, and I got a lot of my instruction from my grandparents. My grandparents are pastors, they're no longer here, but I remember like Vacation Bible School and YTWW, Wednesday night service, revival, like tent revival service at that convocation. So I remember like as a kid just going with them, and even though it was a lot of church, it was more like love. Like they were two people like just loved God, and they also had lots of foster children. Like they had seven of their own children. And they fostered like 13 or 14 foster kids. And I just remember there being lots of food in the house at all times, like tea cakes and apple turnovers, you know, homemade food from scratch. My grandfather, I was a kind of more like a secondhand store owner. So I remember him always giving people a first or second start where he gave them free furniture, you know. And then my grandmother owned her own restaurant. So I remember that's part of my spring season, just seeing them as entrepreneurs, not even knowing that those were entrepreneurs. I just thought that was just their jobs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In my home, when I would go back home, my mom has always been a believer ever since I've known her, but my dad was not a believer. So I know with the two, my parents, you know, they were off and on, like separated, maybe on their way to divorce at one time. I remember during my middle school and during high school. So I remember like love really meant to me, being at my grandparents' house. And I never knew why. But then as I got older, I remember, you know, even if I was kind of like baptized into all that love, it's kind of like I, you know, rebelled during middle school, high school. And I vowed never to go to church when I was like able to be on my own. So when I got 18, I want to say the summer of my life, you know, 18, I was able to pretty much, you know, go to college, have roommates. And like to me, my God was education. I didn't know that at the time that I made God's education, but because I wasn't acknowledging God. I just knew I wanted to have a successful life. I saw my mom go through with having odd jobs, and I didn't want to live like that where my dad was a breadwinner. So I felt like I had to be some independent type of woman. I had read, like, Terry McMillan books at that time, you know, all these Waiting to Exhale and Stella Got Her Groove Back. So I had kind of taken on that independent spirit without knowing it, just thinking, like, I got to be a self-sufficient woman. I got to go to college. I got to make something of myself. And so that was from 18 all the way to getting bachelor's to my master's degree. And then I found myself in a PhD program. So I want to go, that's going to be my, I guess, my fall season. You know, my fall season, I leave California, everything I know, and I moved to Oklahoma to get a PhD degree. And I felt like that was like the, you know, the mountaintop success for me. I was on my way to the top. I'm almost there. And then lo and behold, I was in Oklahoma for no more than maybe 6 to 8 weeks. And I ended up having to get my hair hooked up. You know, I had been wearing hair extensions. And so I thought, you know what? These people in Oklahoma don't know me. I'm going to go to get a new hairdo. You know, when a woman gets a new hairstyle, she cuts her hair or a new style, she's going to change. She's going to wait for a change. And I remember the person who did my hair was not the person who was supposed to do my hair. Because the person who was supposed to do my hair canceled on me when I got there. You know, I thought that was so rude. And so someone else said, I can get you in. And I get in this chair, and the girl who does my hair and I, we both are from California. And she talks about her moving here in July, and I had moved here in August. And so I thought, wow, so good conversation. I remember her, without knowing she was planting seeds, her saying she was 21, she was a virgin. She moved here to start her life for Christ. And I thought, whoa, you know, because I was like, I'm in a sorority, I'm in a PhD program, and this, I'm on to bigger and better things. So, but she was planting seeds without me knowing she was planting seeds. So I just got my hair done. I was grateful that she got me in because I was looking crazy, you know, lots of humidity out in Oklahoma in the summertime. And then over time, just because I didn't really have roots in Oklahoma, I was kind of like tossed to and fro, not really knowing where to go. And I remember just reaching out to her. Like I said, you know, you're from California. How are you adjusting to Oklahoma? So we really just hit it off. And at the point, she was living her life for Christ. She just said, won't you come to church? And because I was so new to Oklahoma, maybe shell-shocked, I went to church. Mind you, when I was 18, I said I would never go, you know, to church. And so I went to church, and it was as if I was meeting Christ for the first time because it was a teaching ministry. I grew up in a Pentecostal, you know, Church of God in Christ, Kojic Church. So I was expecting every church, you know, to be that way or be like a Catholic where it's just real quiet or, you know, whatever. And it was like a mixed congregation. It wasn't like a black church. It wasn't a white church. The pastor was African-American, but it was not about being a black church. It was just teaching. And I thought, like, wow, this is pretty good. Like, it wasn't charismatic where I felt like I had to catch the Holy Ghost or I have to perform. And so I was just hearing, but it says faith come by hearing and hearing the word of God. So I, and then I also connected back to that love that I got from my grandparents. You know, like just, it was nothing pretentious. It was just laid back. It was just come as you are. And I really connected back to that as a child when I was attending church. But then I hadn't been a member of that church for very long when I hooked up with the hairdresser's brother, and then I got pregnant, you know. So now I'm in the winter season. I'm a fast forward to winter season, and that, I want to say, was like the hardest point. You know, here I am, like, hearing God again from, like, my childhood, and then I'm, like, living and tithing. I didn't speak in tongues. Then here I am pregnant, and I ain't been in Oklahoma not even 6 months, and I'm already pregnant. And at the time, you know, we didn't have the issue of Roe versus Wade. I kind of thought about, you know, maybe, you know, I should terminate. I'm just going to keep it real. I thought I was going to terminate because I thought, you know, I made it this far. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I made it this far in my educational journey. I didn't come all the way from California to Oklahoma to get pregnant. And I don't even know this guy barely. And I'm just meeting God, and, like, does he, like, now not think I was taking it serious? So I was really confused, you know. So I want to just take a moment to say the ugly part of your story you're living through right now is going to be the most powerful part of your testimony. You know, it was so ugly. And I want to say, from that point of me getting pregnant to me also having a shotgun wedding behind that, that was quite a journey. I lived in a lot of condemnation where I felt like when people congratulated me for getting married and having a child, I thought, well, I did the right thing. You know, I didn't, like, take it as, like, a compliment. I felt like I didn't do it the right way, and it was not the fairy tale I wanted, because I want to have my education first. Then I want to have a high-paying career. You know, I want to be that independent woman. Mm-hmm. And then I wanted to meet, you know, Mr. Right, you know, knight in shining armor. Then, you know, start a life with him, then have kids, versus the way I did it. So that's where it was really a lot of hard things. I want to just end it right here and say it wasn't until continuing going through that PhD program 2 weeks before I was going to defend my PhD, so I didn't have to drop out of college. I was able to, exactly when I was pregnant with my first child, I was able to teach the entire semester, turn my grades in, and my water broke the next day. So I made it, I carried him all the way until my water broke. Then, you know, bam, you know. But it wasn't until fast forward years in between, years past that, 2 weeks before I was to get my doctorate degree, I was told I wasn't going to get it. And I want to say that was the most devastating thing that could ever happen. I thought getting pregnant was devastating. It wasn't. It was hearing the one thing I thought was going to be my ticket to success was now being canceled. And
Jesus.
Then from that point, I lost my teaching position. I was already given a good job, you know, quote unquote good job with benefits. I had my own TA, had two offices. I had, you know, travel funds to go to conferences. So I lost that. I was no longer able to be in the program anymore. And then I was no more affiliated with that college. And I found myself unemployed for like a whole entire year. And wow, it was some hard times. You know, like, you know, I wasn't even check to check because I wasn't even making any income. And then on top of that, because I did fast forward, that was from me ending my college career. I had three kids. So from one kid, now I had three kids. And then now my husband at the time did not want to be married anymore. So not only was I losing my education, my career, I was also losing my spouse and my, you know, just my whole meanness because, you know, it was a adultery. So I kind of lost some of my womanhood as well, not knowing who I was anymore. So I felt like I lost everything. I cannot say I'm Job, but I just lost it all. But it's like as if I had to lose it all to gain the one thing, just to gain my first love back. And when I say that, for that 1 year of not working, it's like I didn't have a job. I don't know how, nothing but God, because my ex, you know, I was not divorced at the time. You know, I guess he was still contributing, and they was like my family in California, my mom, my parents, really trying to help me as best as they could. But it was not until I got into retail and I got a job from, I guess, monster.com. I didn't even apply for the job. I got a job working in retail in a department store, and that's when my whole life went back to spring. So it's like I got another chance again to start all over again, just like I did childhood growing up at my grandparents, like where I knew love as conversations, as I knew love, as smelling, you know, good, you know, bakery pastries and knowing laughter and conversation in the house. I learned that again in retail. And I didn't want to learn it because I was just one. I want to go back to what was familiar to me. I want to go back to what I set myself out to do, because you make a goal, you want to crush it. You know, you want to accomplish it. You don't want to just go through life and you're in school for X amount of years and not have anything to show for it. So
yeah,
I want to say working in retail, it helped me to start all over again. And as the name Restoration, that became a big answer for me. And it was like God was restoring me and literally putting me in a store, but restoring me as well. Not just giving me a brand new start, but giving me a start back with Him.
Wow. Listen, you definitely, you know, I asked that question and you covered so much, but I think that is a good segue, and I want to kind of touch on some of the things you spoke about. You joined your life, you referred your life to seasons, and I think that is so important. Thank you so much, Shaquila, my sis, for joining on. She is in the chat box. So much, if you have any questions or comments, feel free to use that chat box function. But, you know, you mentioned and you divided your life up into seasons. And one thing I love about your story is that you're being transparent. And I think, you know, us as believers and those that are in the kingdom, when we see people at their success or at a pinnacle in their life, we don't really look at what they've been through. And that's why I have these conversations. And I want to just touch on, you said that you were brought up in the church, you know, your grandparents, your mother, you know, you were very acquainted with Jesus, you know, having a relationship, but you went on through life and different things happened, like it happens to all of us, and you kind of reverted back in a way. Tell me, what would you say to those that were brought up in a Christian lifestyle, but, you know, they have to go through life to explore for themselves? What's some of the things that you often see is the reason why children do that?
Well, because it's like you hear the word being a drug baby, and that doesn't mean like your parents were on substances, but being drugged, like you're forced to go. So when you're a child, you know, it's like even God talks about in the word having childlike faith. And having childlike faith is like you just kind of go with it. But we live in a world that is so many influences of, you know, the enemy, because it says that the enemy is the prince of the air. So nowadays at school, teachers even assisting with the enemy's business, you know, where they're, you know, they're introducing different things. There's, you know, even like things such as like Harry Potter, you know, like sorcery and witchcraft. We don't equate that to that, but I'm just giving examples as to how that can creep in. You have peer friends, like a kid is in school more than they are sometimes at home, where they actually have that interaction with their parents, especially with working parents. If the parents work, you know, we get up early, then the kids get dropped off, parents go to work. Then kids get home. They may be, I was a latchkey kid, so I came home. That's the old school term. I came home with the key around my neck. It was like tied with some shoelace, and I would come home alone and I'd make myself a snack. So I was, and then my parents got home. It's kind of like you have dinner time, and then you go to bed, you know, so not really having, you know, those conversations, not having that connection, I want to say. So things I know are a lot different than what they were when I was growing up, but as the word says, there's nothing new under the sun. So there's that disconnect where, and when you mentioned the word being like authentic and being genuine, there has to always be those conversations in the home. It's like, even though you can be tired, and there has to be sensitivity as well, just to even to know what's going on, to sense what's in your atmosphere at home, to know what's going on at the school, because if you don't know, it's like, there's no ignorance of the law. You know, you're driving down the street and you got your jam playing on and you listen to your podcast or you're listening to Erica, her radio show, and you're like, this is a good conversation. And you get pulled over by the police And you're like, oh, I didn't even know I was speeding. You know, it's like you could get a warning or you could get the ticket. So there's no ignorance of the law. So in the homes, I feel like the home is where, you know, it says home is where the heart is. And I feel like that heart sometimes is tired, or that heart may be, like I said, I grew up in a home that was kind of divided. You know, my mom, she grew up with her parents both being pastors. My dad grew up, he grew up Catholic, and he at one point was wanting to go to become a priest. He was going to go through that whole process.
Wow.
And I don't remember what happened, but, you know, he's a person that is, he knows of faith, but even with Catholic, it's not the same as Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life, you know. So having equally yoked parents, I would say. But I would really want to say it's an inside job. And so when you're saying maybe what's going on with kids, or it's not to blame. So if you're a parent out there and you're like, man, I feel condemned, it's not condemnation. It's who much is given, much is required. So it's like, you know, even if you say, I didn't understand what it was going to take to be a parent, or I'm doing it on my own, I didn't plan to be a single parent, it's a responsibility.
Amen. That you answered that so good. And, you know, you talked about how you were on your way to success, you know, what we think is successful. And this goes for whether you're kingdom or not. I think we often have our life already planned out. And you talked about how you went to college and you're getting your, you know, doctorate degree, master's program, and, you know, going to get your doctorate. And I see that you're a Delta, you know, so you will be considered accomplished in the world's eye. But God had a different path for you. Tell our viewers, when you have your own path, because in the Bible it talks about, you know, there is a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death, right? Tell me, what are some of the things that will alter the plans that God has for us that we think is good? Why would, you know, you being in that successful place, heading to success, that God will start this shift and change things around? Now that you're on the outside, why do you think God led you in the direction that he led you?
Wow. And God is so awesome that he gives us free will. So I'm not even saying, I can't even really say I was being led by God. You know, it's like I have free will to choose the path I wanted. And it's like I just couldn't understand. Like, even though my mom, she never gave up on me. You know, she always instilled faith the best that she could. And it's just, I can understand, you know, like why she would tithe, or why she was so committed to, you know, being a Sunday saint. You know, and she wasn't just a church person on Sunday. She was that every day. You know, it was a daily lifestyle, like where even cooking food can be ministry, where you provide hot meals because, you know, Top Ramen is food too, you know, so I didn't see it that way. And it's like, I want to say I had lack of faith, because I have faith in education, but education is not a God. You know, education is a tool, but it's man-made, or even God can even bless that area as well. But it was like, it didn't give me life. You know, education didn't give me life. And my intellect could only take me so far, because God wanted my spirit. You know, like my intellect and my spirit are two different entities. And with faith, it's like having to trust in something you cannot prove. You have to have a strong belief in it. And you have to really trust and obey Christ, his commandments. But it's also through action. And I did not have any faith. I have faith in myself. And it's as if God let me be my own God. You know, like I wouldn't say I was a reprobate, where like I was out there, where I was Nebuchadnezzar, I was eating grass, you know, where I was turned over to an animal. I wasn't like that. But I want to say, like, it's like God, he lets you loose, you know, but he still chases, you know, the one. He'll leave the 99 for the one, but it's like he let me go, you know. But there was still a grace around me, because I can look back and see so many times where something should have, could have, would have happened, and it didn't. So the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. So I'm grateful for the prayers of my mother, of my grandparents, or anybody, whoever, you know, thought to pray for me, because I was not living for God at all. Like, I wasn't, like, doing drugs and stuff like that, but I was living as risky as it is when you're living without faith. That's living pretty risky, because you just, even to wake up every day, it takes, you know, we just assume we're going to wake up the next day. You know, to get
Come
in
on.
Somebody's vehicle, get in a car. You could be at an outing, like, you know, at a college party. You can have, I didn't drink or anything, but you can just have a drink and someone put something in your drink, you know. So anything could have happened, you know, but nothing did happen. And so I want to say, it's like, God, he gives us a chance to really know who he is. As he says, in the last days, he's going to pour out
come
his
on.
Spirit onto all flesh. So it's like everyone will get a chance to say they had it. They had an invitation. So I want to say my invitation was when I lost everything, because then it's like there was a desperation in me that even if I had everything, that only God was only going to be able to fulfill anyway. Like there was, and it always was there. But even in the empty ache of my heart of not getting that education, you know, piece of paper and not having the life that I thought I was supposed to have, there was always a God-sized, God void in me where it only could be him that could fill that place. But I didn't know that. So even when I, you know, if God was building me back up in retail, it's like that no matter how good things were starting to get, it was like when I knew where he belonged and when I heard his voice, like that intimacy when it was like when my faith was back, you know, back stronger, it's like, man, I realized that it was always meant to be this way. It always had to been him first. Not my education. He wouldn't care. He's like, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. So the things are after him, but not before him. And it's just no having no faith. So I'll leave it like that because I can go on and on and
Come
on because I've had so much time. I've had so much time to process and now that in process meaning like it's not like always steps 1, 2, and 3, but it's like a layer, like layers, like an onion, like the layers being peeled back, you know, and it gets stronger and stronger, you know, when you have sensitivity, you cutting that onion, and then you get your eyes start watering, and your senses are like, oh, this is kind of spicy, you know, and it's like, so I've had that time to go through those layers where when you hear me get louder, it's because it's that, like, inside that core of that onion is stronger, closer to the seed, and that seed to me is that faith, and like that seed, that's the way you're able to connect with God. Like there has to be a connection, and that connection is how you connect to that power, the spiritual realm, and it links us to God, and it makes him become like a tangible reality to us, and we're able to sense the perception of a person. Like we're able to sense him through faith. It's like it's not a feeling, it's a sensing. Like you just have to have faith, and it's like, wow. So I'm just using that onion for an example. Most of us that know about that onion life.
Yes, you definitely, I love your answers because it's locked and it's loaded and it's heavy. I love that you go in depth. You don't just say surface, and I love that. You talked about the supernatural, and, you know, in your bio, we spoke about that, you know, you are passionate about creating supernatural spaces for strategic networking for entrepreneurs, right? I want to ask you a question. You know, we live in a day and a time where the supernatural is being idolized. You know, people really don't understand. Don't get me wrong. We are supernatural beings, and God, that is how we're supposed to be operating. But some of us idolize it. Tell me, what created you to be passionate about the supernatural realm and wanting to create this space for entrepreneurs?
When I learned that the supernatural is the natural, that's the advantage of being a believer. It's like that, the order of, that's just God's order. Like that's, it relates to God, and that's just who, he's supernatural. So he's not, you know, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. So it's like, once I knew what supernatural meant, and that means that we should expect, you know, miracles, signs, and wonders. Like people that are without hope, they're looking for hope. And, you know, how does that come? Like it can come through, you know, money through the fish's mouth, you know, like if someone needs bills. But it's nice that even the supernatural is that a stranger who don't know who you are can be a blessing to you, and you ain't never told them nothing. You didn't go on social media and do no GoFundMe account, you know, where it's beyond the natural. And it's above, because God's ways are above our ways. So it's something that's above our own understanding, where you only can be in awe to say it had to be God. Like, no man can get credit for that. And with supernatural faces, it's like we are God's, you know, creation. We're created in his image and his likeness. So that means we are to be his image here in this world. And that means we are different, different shapes, different sizes. But we should have the one thing in common, our faith in him, where we're able to represent him in the earth. So when someone has a need and they don't have to tell you, and if they do tell you, that could be supernatural as well, where you sometimes it's innate and natural in natural behavior to be self-seeking or to like, you know, I did it, you should do it for yourself. I'm able to pay my bills, you should be able to pay your bills. But when you're really looking out for somebody else. And so when I think about a supernatural space, it's like just even being at work. You know, when I come in that job, before I even get there, I've already prayed, already been able to have time with God, just for myself, in his word, being able just to not just have a one-way conversation, but to listen for him to talk to me. You know, because we can get the logos, there's the written word, we can get the rhema word, but we also want to just sometimes just be still, you know, peace, be still, be in his presence. And let him just minister how he wants to minister to us. And so when I get to work, it's about him. You know, joy is Jesus, others, then yourself. So whatever needs to be done, you know, there's times where, like, I work in cosmetics, and then sometimes I'll be asked to go to the lingerie department because I started out working in lingerie. And then maybe I don't want to go to lingerie. But I'll say, you know what, God, I'm working for you. So I'll take myself to lingerie, you know, and help women get their intimate apparel, their bras, and whatever shapewear they're needing. And then I'm so just being hands, being his God's feet. And it doesn't seem like that big of a deal, but when we think about people, people are very delicate. They may be have a hard exterior, but who they are is not their body. You know, it says God is a spirit. We are a spirit. We have a soul, and we live in a body. So people can cover up their emotions. They can put makeup on. They can have a big Louis Vuitton purse and the big Gucci shades. They can look good, but when you're able to sense that they need a hug, or you're able to sense,
come
that
on,
you ask them, "Can I pray for you?" When you can just sense it and you just go for it, that and supernatural doesn't have to be something where we sensationalize it, where it's like, "Oh my gosh," we don't have, because it should be so natural. Where it's not like, you know, even if you did need money or you needed a hug or something happened that no one knew, that should be all the time, because we should be sensitive enough where we're connecting to God every day. We're connected to him because he don't sleep or slumber, you know, so he's always available to us. But are we available to him?
Wow.
I'm just
saying,
supernatural is just being available.
Wow. I love that. And, you know, me and you were talking earlier today, and you brought up something, and I hope that you don't mind sharing. But, you know, some people heard what you said, and you said, you know, you work at a department store. And some people will hear your, you know, your story and say, okay, a department store. But I want you to tell me how strategic God is and the kind of place that he placed you at. Tell us about some of the people that you that are your clientele.
Okay, wow. So I want to first say I started out in lingerie. I had a bad attitude, y'all, because I'm like, here I am going through a divorce. Why am I working in lingerie? You know, I saw the G-strings and the lace and the, you know, the little honeymoon stuff. And I thought, wow, and I was sarcastic. And I remember after only being there for a few weeks, it's like from the inside I heard a quiet voice say, wear it for yourself. And then I thought, oh. It's like I never even thought about that. Like, yeah, it was a time when I was new in college, and I discovered Bath & Body Works, and I was loving that cucumber. It was a cucumber smell. I don't know. It was like a popular one back in the day. And I remember buying all these things for myself, you know, and I just enjoyed Victoria's Secret. I enjoyed Bath & Body Works. But then going through marital problems and just life problems, it's kind of like I kind of forgot about myself. I forgot about, you know, things that's close to my heart. You know, when you think about putting on lotion or putting on a bra or an undergarment, that's underneath your clothing, you know, and that's closer to your heart. So it's like I kind of didn't care how that looked. I'm just keeping it real. And so I started there, and then I got moved not long after I worked in lingerie. I guess God knew I needed to know that lesson. And at the time, again, I didn't know I was being taught and I was being processed, but I was there in lingerie for 6 months. In those 6 months, I began to invest in my, you know, shapewear and my bras and undergarments. And maybe I got like 10 robes when they was on sale. You know, I started getting all these things, and I look forward to coming home, because then it's like I was able to take off the day and I can put on something soft. And then I can always think about, and not just pajamas, but loungewear. I was able to have clothes before I put on my pajama clothes. I thought, you know, it was all kind of fun. Like, it was kind of like me playing dress up in my mom's clothes when I was a kid. You know, being able to feel grown up and do grown up things, but it was just for me exploring and learning myself again. And then after 6 months, I was moved to the cosmetic side, and I did not know how to do makeup. I knew nothing about fragrance. I don't even know what fragrance I used to wear. I can't even tell you before I started working in cosmetics. Now I got all the perfumes, y'all. But when I was there, I got moved to work in skin. I got put in skincare, and I thought, skincare? I'm like, this is so boring, you know, like, because, you know, I thought, you know, they're going to train me. I'd rather them train me to put on makeup or, but they put me in skincare. And like, again, they was not them. It was God just using some people to help me. And I was put in skincare where I was learning about skin is your foundation. Before you put on your foundation, you want to take care of what's underneath that, you know, and your skin is your body's largest organ. And so I thought, oh, wow. And then where I'm at a counter where they really promote you to go marketing. They promote you to go outsource, to go to business. They want you to have lots of conversations with people. So they want you to talk all day. Like, they didn't. And I thought, they is asking me to talk. So, like, you would do client, you know, consultations. You would meet people, do lots of networking, give out a lot of samples. So it really, it seemed hard because it was not being a professor, because my mind was already set, like, I'm supposed to be a professor. I kind of liked the way the students treated me. But at the same time, I didn't even know who I really was, because it was like they was meeting my representative. Like, they were meeting somebody that was insecure. And so when the students just knew of me as a professor, they were more afraid of me than they were, you know, like, close to me. You know, like, there was a distance because I'm the person that's going to give them a grade. Versus now working in retail, it's like no one knows who you are. Now you are someone that can get rejected. Now you go to people, you know, if you think about some kiosk in the mall where they have people with the Dead Sea Salt, or, like, they have people that, you know, try to get your attention to give you a sample, and you pretend you're on your cell phone because you don't want to be bothered, you know. Like, I became that person. I'm like, what? And it's like, then in the quiet time, it's like God is saying, well, pride goes before a great fall. Like, isn't this your job? Aren't you able to make a commission? You can make as much money as you want to make. So why are you afraid of people? Why are you afraid of rejection?
Wow.
Like, why are you focusing so much on yourself? This product is a good product. It's not about the product. It may not be for everyone, but how will they know unless they try it? How will they know unless you don't share it with them? I thought, what? You know, so it's like God talking to me just through simple things. So, like I said, even with the supernatural, or just even with just God, him just being God, he can use anything. So even for someone that may be in a job right now that you think is beneath you, who are you? You know, like, who are you? Like, why do you have so much pride and arrogance in yourself to not think you can serve? Because Jesus came not to be served, but he came as a servant. And no matter where you're at, don't you know that God knows where you're at? Like, why do you think you're off of this GPS? You know, why do you think you're off the grid? Why if you know you had cried out for a job? And we shouldn't just work for a job, because God, he's the source. The job is just a resource. But when we go to a job, it's for an assignment. And it could be a season. It could be a reason. We don't know. But until you seek God to know, how will you know why you're there? So when you're just focusing on yourself, as I did for a very long time, I didn't get to learn anything, because I was crying. I was a baby. So it's like I was on the milk. So, like, how could God give me anything to chew on or anything to digest to hold me if I was just a baby? If I could just cry every day. I would cry, y'all, in my car on my lunch break. Because I would see the same professors who I went to faculty meetings with, they would come shopping, you know. And it was like, I want to put my head down, or I want to go run and hide. But God would say, don't. And it's like once I heard his voice in the lingerie department just saying, just wear it for yourself, then I just knew that voice was, it wasn't like a condemning voice, but it was a firm love voice. It was like a hold me up. It gave me a backbone. So it's like when God was saying, look at this, go talk to them. You know, it'd be short things, easy things to do. So it was like me just, like as if, you know, like, wow, having to trust him, even though you're like, this is embarrassing. And it's like then him showing me. So he wasn't even showing himself. He was just showing me to show how much ungrateful I was or how much of a baby I was, even though I had before working in retail. I was going to church. I was tithing. You know, I would make so much money, y'all. You know, like, it was like I had nothing to show for it. So even when I did make a lot of money, like in some months, I can make $15,000. I'm not trying to be braggadocious, but just doing something.
No, because
so
I want them to hear it because they're thinking a department store and don't really understand the type of department store you work at.
Yeah, but I'm saying before. But this was when I was a professor, I was making this kind of money. You know, I was making a lot of money, but at the same time, I really wasn't being myself. You know, like I wouldn't pretend, just like I was putting those clothes on. Underneath it, like, I wasn't bold about my faith. That's who I really was. So I wasn't bold about my faith. When I was a professor, I was afraid to speak my opinion in faculty meetings. I just kind of did what was popular. I did what people would like. And I'm not saying I became Saul, you know, because I felt like I was anointed. I was anointed to do, and I got so many awards and everything, but I had so much fear. And it says perfect love cast out all fear. Or God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. I had so much fear. I had so much fear that they was going to catch on that I was an imposter, that I really wasn't smart. So I want to say that, like Job says, the thing that I feared has come upon me. Like, you cannot have fear. So even though I was a believer when I was a professor, I had so much fear inside that it's like, how could my faith flow or how can Holy Spirit flow? It was like I was self-sabotaging myself. So I try to make solace with myself and say, you know, God, you probably didn't mean for me to be a professor. You know, you probably, like, maybe that was not your plan, but it's like, God, he can do anything, you know, but fail. So it's like, it was me. I can't blame him for something that if I wasn't there, and I, even if I look back and say, man, like, so I say, if I have faith, God, then what I have finished, and it's like, that's the path. So I don't want to be like, you know, Lot's wife, in Sodom and Gomorrah, because even with hearing Lot's wife, you don't even know her name. You know, like, she's forgotten about. She's just a pillar of salt. So that's the path that I can learn and say, you know what, God? Then I didn't have faith. I didn't know how to say to the mountain of fear to move. I didn't have faith when someone spoke negatively of me to cast that down or to bind up that spirit. I didn't. But through the process of me going to retail, I did learn those things. So, God, I was humble again to say, God, I thank you. Now, working in retail, it's like now I'm in another season. So I talked about those seasons of my life, you know, in my faith walk. But in my season now in retail, it's like I don't even have a season no more because God said you can have all the seasons in one, or you can have the Yaisa season. You don't have to even be in a season of man, because that's for man to know the season. You're in the Yaisa season, or you're in the season of everything you've ever dreamt of or prayed about. It's your season. And I'm talking, so that's for somebody out there as well. So don't, whatever you think on, as a man, so is he. So we have to think that God, his word is everything. And so even with our words are everything. But it comes first as thoughts. So those thoughts, we have to take captive of every vain imagination. If there is something that's inside of you that's not godly, you want to have that time to process. So retail, I can't say I've made the same amount of money as I made as a professor in retail, but I've made so much more. Like, I've gotten so many material things where I don't pay for clothes. I mean, I got so many shoes, so many. If you invite me to come to a conference or something, a brunch, I never have to go shop. I can just go shop in my closet. With perfumes, I have every perfume. Makeup, you get it for free. You know, you get lots of gratis, and then there's lots of perks. You know, so I don't make the same amount of money, but to me, money became relationships. And I always say relationships are revenue because it's like even though I have my customers who I'm able to share with them what's new, it's like they don't even ask the price because luxury is not to be bought. It's to be experienced. And that's not a tagline, but when we think about God too, we think about it's to be experienced with us as well, because Jesus paid the ultimate price. So all we're supposed to do is experience luxury. We're supposed to, even though we're going to suffer, you know, we may suffer a while, but we're also going to reign with Christ, but we're just supposed to experience extravagance. We don't have to have that poverty mindset, like where, because I'm broken, then I'm broke. We have to say, what does God's word say? You know, like, he came to give us life, to give us and give it to us more abundantly. Jesus became poor so he could become rich. Whatever depression, doubt, divorce, you know, just destituteness, he took it to the cross. It was nailed to him. It was binded to him. He took it so you don't have to take it. Are going through something that we don't like, you want to have people in your life. That's why I say there's supernatural atmospheres. I always love that, where I always invite Holy Spirit, because he's a gentleman. He's not going to just impose. So you want to always invite him, or you want to ask me to hear Holy Spirit activate. You know, like, you hear that? You want him to take over. You want him to help you. Because he ain't going to come unless you ask him. He's there. We have the indwelling of Holy Spirit. We have the instilling of Holy Spirit. So we want to make sure we're taking care of our temples, where we're edifying ourselves, but that we're also giving him, you know, opportunities, because he know it all. Because God is omnipresent, omnipowerful, and omniscient. I hope I said them all, but he's all that and everything, everywhere here at the same time. He's all powerful, all knowing. He's all that. So, like, why would we put so much on ourselves? Because that's the trick of the enemy, is that he only going to use what's true to bend it. So it's never nothing that's so, you know, where it was so obvious. You know, he has to use, just like with the Garden of Eden, like, he uses something to just bend it slightly. And so if we think that, like, wow, that's why we have to know our word. We have to be sharp in the word, because the sharpness, thinking about a sword, we can cut through any lie. You know, we can cut to the chase. But it's just sometimes in our own understanding, if we have fear, or we have insecurity, or we have pride, it still goes back to fear. It still goes back to ourselves. It's still not humbling ourselves. It's not allowing God to be Lord in our life. Because we can have him as Savior. Well, we got that ticket to get to heaven. Like, some of us just have, you know, we got the one-way ticket to heaven. Like, you know, I'm gonna get this ticket. I'm going to live one way. I'm not going to have many adventures with God. So when you invite him to be Lord of your life, so many adventures. You might find yourself working in retail. You might find yourself doing something, starting a business, and you're like, I have no business education, but I had a vision of me starting this business. I even had the business name. And I get my pen and these ideas just start flowing. So that's an adventure with Christ, where he can just take you on a journey where you never thought you would go. Because the marketplace, as our conversation is a location where people, they gather there for purchase of sales and goods. People like to buy stuff. People are consumers. But then God wants us to be creators, because he's creative. You know, he's a creative. So we're in his image and likeness. We shouldn't be just consuming stuff. Like, we see somebody with something, and we just support everything, which is good, but we still want to ask God, because that's his money. You know, like, we want to have wisdom to seek his wisdom, to say, you know, how should I budget my money? You know, he'll give you a budget. He can be an accountant. He can be a life coach. You know, he can be all that, a financial planner, but we have to invite him as that.
Wow. Oh, that was good. That was really good. And, you know, you talked about the marketplace. I want to ask you this question. What is the difference that you see from the worldly perspective versus kingdom perspective in the marketplace? What are some, if you can name three key differences and how the two operate, what are those three things?
And could you clarify that? So I know, like, you're saying the marketplace and then the kingdom. Are you meaning like the church, or are you meaning like
more religious? You know, in the marketplace, everyone is not Christian. You know, you have worldly people in the marketplace. What are some key differences that you see being a kingdom entrepreneur versus worldly entrepreneurs? What are some, like, three key distinctives? Because I know it's a lot. So I had to lower it to three.
Okay. The first one is confidence. In the marketplace, the price is the price. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you come by some Chanel, even if the person got a low L, it ain't even Chanel. The marketplace, that price is the price. You know, like, there's such a confidence. And I see with the kingdom entrepreneur, just if I can go back and forth, is like insecurity, not knowing the worth. or not knowing the value that even though the price is the price. And so it's not like, and it's taking so long to figure it out. It don't take that long. Like when you have something, go with it. And I see that in the marketplace. Like when people come to buy something, like the objects are inanimate. They don't talk. They don't move. But people, they value it because the branding. You know, they value it because it's out there. And you don't really know the person that's creating it. You may go do the backstory of Chanel or Gucci or something like that. But you see those the logo, the symbol, and you just want it. With the believer or the kingdom, I just see sometime where, and this is not putting nobody down. This may be talking to myself. It's like we want to promote ourselves. And then it's like we want our family to buy it or we want our friends to buy it. And then we want to go and go on social media on a smear campaign and say, nobody supports me. Like, yeah, there are so many consumers. Like, there's like find them. So you got to know who your target audience is. And in the marketplace, that's where that is. Like, like if you're going to go to buy those luxury items, I work in a store that sells luxury items. Like, people come there for luxury. They don't come there for not luxury. Like, they want stuff that just came out that no one has. They don't care about the price because they know the quality of it. So I want you to know as a believer, you got to know the quality of who you are, the quality of who you are in Christ. Like, you're one of a kind. You're his masterpiece. So it's like there's no compromising in that. So it's like the price is the price. So I want to say the first attribute I want to say, and that's not to put the entrepreneur down, that's the kingdom person, is confidence. And then two, I want to say religious, being religious. I see in the marketplace, with my customers, some of them are entrepreneurs. I have an Olympic gymnast as a customer. I don't treat her as a celebrity. And when so people see her, they'll be like, girl, do you know that that's Nadia Comaneci, you know? And she's this Russian gymnast, but she owns like this big known gymnastics place where I'm at in Oklahoma. And she's someone that's not just a customer, she's a client. So a customer is someone that's a one-time transaction. Like, they're not consistent. A client, that means someone that, like, you think about a hairstylist or getting your nails done, you got to get them done every, you know, however many weeks. So a client knows they need to replenish their stuff after 2 months. They're going to be back-to-back. So see someone that when I was out at Wally World and Walmart, she noticed me. She's like, oh, my gosh. And she's a celebrity, y'all. You know, I'm not trying to toot my horn, but just you got to treat people. You got to treat people right. You know, like, so I think with a believer, you know, I'm not comparing. I'm just going to speak from the marketplace perspective. Just treat people like people, you know, not people, but treat them good. You know, don't see them as money. So even as you having a business, don't think I got to make this money. Like, I need to help people. You know, you want to think of it. You want to be a solutionist. So when you have when someone got a problem, if I'm helping somebody with getting them some retinol and they got, you know, they go get plastic surgery and they're like, you know, it's expensive to get plastic surgery. I need something for maintenance. They're going to come to me to get some good skincare because it's going to be, I work in a place where the dermatologist solutions. So, like, they want something that's going to work. If it works, they're going to come back. So you have to have quality in your product, but you got to have quality in your conversations. You gotta have quality time with them where you don't just care about them because of what you need. You have to say happy birthday. Just give them a birthday call. Happy birthday. You go above and beyond. Like when my customers come in, I turn them into a client. Like they become my friends. You know, like I pray with them. Wow. And in the beginning, it might not have been that way. You know, because I would hear God. Like I said, I didn't do it on my own where I was being religious. I would hear Him say it, pray, and I say, can I pray with you? That would be so nice. And they would just cry. They might have just got a cancer scare or they got I had a client who his daughter has alopecia. He says, I have everything I need. He says, but my daughter has alopecia, you know. And I prayed for that. You know, I was like, well, God, you know, it's like, and I thought it was so humbling that he didn't even ask for anything. You know, he just said, my daughter. His daughter's in seminary and she's doing well and he wants her to have a good self-image of herself, you know. And so I want to say my last point is not being afraid. Like, you cannot have fear. So you have to know as an entrepreneur or someone in the marketplace that somewhere, but it don't take a long time, you know, because God is like he created in 6 days, you know, so that even gives us a cheat code. You know, day one was light. Day two was the firmament. Day three was the sky. He divided the waters and the dry land was put down. Day four was the sun, moon, and stars. Day five, he put the birds in the air, and he put the fish in the sea, in the crab legs. You know, I like crab legs. Then on day six, he put the land animals on the land, and he created man. And then he rested on the seventh day. But on the sixth day, when we go back to that, in Genesis 1 and 26 and 1 and 27, he says, let us. So God was already with the posse, with the squad. He had God, it was God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us create them in our image. So it said, and give them dominion. So we're here to dominate. So when you think about there is Gucci, Louis Vuitton, you're here to dominate, believer. If you are a believer, you don't come here to create something that's like something else. You create something that ain't never been here. You bring it down from heaven. It ain't never been here before. Nothing to compare it with. But you're here to dominate. Because he says, take dominion with to replenish and subdue. So we to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish and subdue. So when we replenish it, we're going to maintain it. So we have a quality product that we create, a quality service that we create, and then we're going to maintain it. You're going to keep your GoDaddy account going. You know, you're going to make sure that all your renewal dates is all together so you don't lose, you know, your renewal, your payment goes through. You know, you're going to make sure you update things. There's no spelling errors. You know, you're going to make sure that you're going to your coach. You got a business coach. You might have a marketing person. Like, you got different people that do different things because that's who God made them to be. So you're not afraid to invest in yourself. You're not afraid to be great. Some people are afraid to be great because they're like, I don't know. And you see someone else doing it, but it's like you kind of figure it out because you're coming from the outside. It's from the inside. Like, God already put it inside of you. You got to bring it out. You know, and someone, that's their job to bring it out. You got people pulling on you. You don't say, girl, you a millionaire, and you just don't see it. But they can see it, but it's on the inside. You know, it's your job to pull it out. So God can send people to say things to you to kind of pull on you because sometimes you forget who you are. Sometimes you forget that you're more than that paycheck. You forget that you're supposed to have, you know, multiple properties. You're supposed to be the lender, not the borrower, above, not the bottom, or the head, not the tail. You're supposed to be that. But then it's like, so someone comes to remind you because God tugged on them to come tug on you. So as a believer, I would want to just encourage, I'm encouraging myself as well to stop thinking so low. Yeah. And it doesn't take a long time. Because again, God did it in 6 days. So he's showing us what he can do. Even with the children of Israel, he had 10 supernatural miracles, wonders that happened. You know, they got them out of Pharaoh's captivity. They get in the wilderness, and they just lose their cotton picking minds. You know, like, it's like, it should have took them 2.5 weeks to make it to the promised land. So I'm going to say whoever is in their business, and they're like, man, maybe 2023, maybe next year, maybe it's going to take me 10 years to build up. It was going to take them 2.5 weeks. But when them 12 spies, you know, got to scope it out, two came back with a good report. So stop making the world, when the world tells us about gas prices, when the world tells us things, give us this so-called bad news, you got to say God gave us the good news through Christ. So your story does not change. It don't take you that long. So even though 2.5 weeks, it may not be 2.5 weeks for you. It might be 2.5 months, maybe 2.5 years, but it don't take you that long to get to your promised land because you can't, like, they stopped. They stopped and they made golden calves because that was on the inside of them. They stopped and complained about they were tired of eating manna and quail. So then God said, I'm going to give you so much quail, it's going to be coming out your nose. You know, so it's like, stop complaining. Stop comparing.
Amen.
Stop competing. We're in this together, and we're the body of Christ. Not even just, you're not just one person by yourself. We're the body of Christ. Many members, but one body. So when there's a believer doing something, go and support them. When there's a believer, don't just say, oh, that's just their first podcast. I'll wait till they blow up, you know, or that's just they get there and it's like, you're like, man, I knew them. You know, you knew them, you know, you still know them, but now they just not in reach anymore. they're about their father's business, but it's like, we need to be kingdom minded, and kingdom minded means God's mind, you know, the mind of Christ, and like his ways are not our ways. And it says it's for God to conceal a matter before a king to search it out. So there's many things he gives us, with even Christ, with Jesus, with people. He was talking these parables with the disciples. He was just talking plain English, you know. So it's like they'll be like, well, why? Because, you know, some people only care about what you can give them, you know. So you really want to have discernment to know who's really for you, because people know what you got. You know, they can smell it. Discernment, you know, God, he reigns on the just and the unjust, and gifts and talents are given without repentance. So people know stuff, even if they're into other stuff, and crystals and wave beads and sound bowls, they know spirit. Spirit knows spirit, even though that spirit should know that it's only one true living God. There ain't no other gods. I mean, it's little g gods, but the spirit, other spirits, they know. But do you know that God is God? God is ruler. God is king. El Shaddai, Elohim. Like, there ain't no other God like him. If there are other gods, it's a little g.
I know that's right. Amen. Well, let me say this. You definitely blessed us on tonight. I just got fed just listening to you, and we're going to have you on here again as a part two. But I just thank you so much, Yaisa, for coming on and just really sharing your knowledge and your wisdom on tonight.
Well, I appreciate you, and I don't mean to be chatty Cathy. It's like there's a joy, unspeakable joy. And even my words, if I could say it, I wouldn't even have, if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't even thank God or even say his praises, you know, so many. So I want to thank you for you having a supernatural atmosphere just here to have the peace. I just sense a peace, and there's even just a prosperity, like rich conversations, rich connections.
Yes.
And everything that's attached to you is winning because you're winning. But everything attached to you, anyone that listens and supports and taps in, just bless. So much richness that you have to offer. So I thank you.
Amen. Well, I thank you, and I'm so glad to be connected to you, Yaisa, not just because of what you do, but who you are. I think that's a key distinction and difference. So thank you so much, and we will have you on Meaningful Conversations again.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a great evening.
You too. Bye, everyone.
Okay. Bye. So thank you all for tuning in to Meaningful Conversations. We had a wonderful episode. Make sure you catch us on August 6th, guys. We have a rollout coming out for the interviews for August 6th. And I tell you, it's definitely going to be something you're interested in. We have Patricia Dixon, Breaking Through Financial Barriers. Also, Emma Washington, Breaking Barriers by Using Your Voice. We also have Danielle Bertrand, Allowing God to Realign You. And then lastly, we have Caroline Lawman, How to Change Your Mindset and How That Propels Your Life. So I hope that you all will tune in to August's podcast and radio interview shows, and make sure you follow us at www.rdsolutionsmarketingfirm.com. Love you all. Take care. Bye-bye.